T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Mully and Hall.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago Sports Talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie.
The quarterback that beat them, Tyler Huntley, was an undrafted free agent out of Utah a couple years ago. And who is the Bears' Utah player other than cornerback Jalen Johnson? That must have hurt to have that guy beat you. And then you heard from him, and he doesn't want to hear any more rah-rah.
We're all men. So, I mean, coming in here and saying we got to figure out a way, I mean, to me, is BS. Like, we're not going to keep talking. Like, we got to find ways to win. We got to just get it done. I mean, whatever it is. I mean, like I said, whatever it is. But there's nothing to keep coming in here and talking about and having all these rah-rah speeches. Like, we've had 5 weeks of rah-rah speeches. So, I mean, I don't think that talking is anything that we need to be doing.
Jalen Johnson, you know, God bless him. He's had a pretty good year. He had that weird late to Hallis Hall, went on to Graham and complained about it. There have been little issues with this team throughout the course of the year that when we write the final obituary, we'll add all that stuff up. But I thought that his comments yesterday were as damning as we've heard from anyone from the Chicago Bears.
What Jalen Johnson was saying, I'm sure that he didn't mean for it to imply that he was tuning his head coach out. You know what we heard? We heard him tuning his head coach out because we heard enough from his head coach, and we have heard enough after losses from Matt Nagy. So yeah, that's a problem. I don't know if that represents an overwhelming number of Bears players who want Matt Nagy gone, as the Jordan Schultz report implies, but I think there might be a few. But I think you're starting to hear things like that because we're also starting to listen for cues like that.
We've had 5 weeks of rah-rah speeches. So, I mean, I don't think that talking is anything that we need to be doing.
He's not going to help us win.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Okay, let's go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Oh, goodness gracious. May you live in interesting times. Is that the Chinese proverb? I think the Bears are living through some interesting times. And Matt Nagy is living through maybe some final days here. This is an extraordinary turn of events. And it's just so Bears. I don't know how else to describe it, David. Good morning to you, sir.
Morning, Mully. Happy Wednesday. Yeah, another dysfunctional day at Hallis Hall. It was memorable. It was regrettable. And worst of all, it was avoidable. It did not have to go down the way that it went down. We can speculate about Matt Nagy's future. They can address Matt Nagy's future. But the way that it unfolded, it created more chaos than necessary. And that is only because the Bears do not manage crises well, and they are in the midst of a crisis of their own doing.
I got to be honest with you. It is one of these, you know, if indeed everything that we believe is happening is actually happening, there's a couple of huge things that have occurred on the way there. One, okay, you have turned your head coach into about as sympathetic a figure as you're going to find because of the methodology here. Number two, You wanted to do a Friday news dump, apparently. This is their big thing, right, David? You wait, you try to get something out there at the beginning of the weekend, and then you hope the news cycles churn and the story is gone by the time we reconvene on Monday, by the time everyone gets to Monday. It's a holiday weekend. We've never fired a coach before. I got it. Let's do it Thursday night. Everyone's eating turkey. They've got the tryptophan kicking it. They're all asleep. We'll fire him. We'll move it up. Then you have the story that you're going to do at break from a journalist who is reputable, to say the least, a Pulitzer Prize winning journalist. And everyone then spends a day asking questions about it. Now you've got another day where I can't imagine anything about the story goes away. You've got the broadcast. You couldn't have stepped on something nasty if you tried the way they've gone about this, if indeed this is what's going on.
Well, the biggest breakdown is in communication, as it typically is in situations like these. Now, I don't know if they wanted to kind of orchestrate a news dump. I don't know if that's giving them too much credit, Mully, frankly, when you look at it. I just don't think they understand how to, number one, have a consensus on what the strong messages they want to send, and number two, how to send it effectively. Because if anything that we are reminded of in a day like yesterday is that the Bears struggle mightily with crisis management. And frankly, you know, their biggest rival isn't the Packers. Their biggest rival is transparency. That is the enemy. They never are transparent enough. Be simple, clear, and strong, whether you're dealing with the media or your own head coach. And clearly they have been unclear. And that is part of the problem here. That is part of the confusion here. That is why Matt Nagy now is being cast as a football martyr. Nobody wants to fire him anymore. They want to give him a hug. Did you hear the guy? Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Coach Word Salad spoke loudest with his body language. That's what we saw yesterday.
It is, you know, Bigsy's report overnight is probably the most interesting thing that I have read about it. The idea that you did cancel some meetings that were scheduled and you just got out of there. Okay, you know what, guys? Here we go. We're going to do this and that and that. Let's just go home. The lack of clarity, the lack – I mean, I'm honest with you now. This affects performance. This affects the actual game. This you know, the coach tried to dismiss it by saying, well, that's a distraction. A distraction? I mean, goodness gracious, why not just set off fireworks in the bubble if you want to practice indoors? Hey, what's going on in there? Oh, look, at there's a light show. No, we're about to burn the place down. I got to tell you, it's just one of these situations where, you know, the story breaks right after we get off the air.
Right.
And then you got to sit and twist in the wind. No response, nothing out of Hallis Hall. You get, you know, the poor special teams coach who could be an interim, you get his, could you put a guy in a worse position?
No.
Then Matt Nagy comes out there.
Right.
And I mean, what else has anyone got to say? What other
Nothing.
Question is there to be asked?
No.
It's ridiculous.
Okay, so to recap, we'll analyze it for 4 hours, the next 4 hours till 9 o'clock. We've got some great guests lined up. But Mully, so 9:15, the story breaks. The Bears let 2.5 hours go before they even put anybody at the podium, and they stick to their schedule. Chris Tabor, then Matt Nagy. All right, Matt Nagy goes to the podium, and as I described, his body language screams something's going on here, even though he said the report was inaccurate from Mark Conkle. He said he's not going to let this get in the way of his future, but then he did just that because it got in the way of football. As Bigsy reported, ChicagoTribune.com, Matt Nagy then told his players that he did have a productive meeting with management and ownership. This is at the walkthrough. He told them that you're not promised tomorrow. He implied that he wouldn't be coaching them the rest of the season, and he canceled the meetings for the rest of the day. And when they went to break, they broke on family, because that is what you need to rally around, apparently. Presumably, that's what he meant. And that is where we are now. Bears canceled their meetings. Now it's gotten in the way of preparing for the Lions, and tomorrow's up for grabs because we don't know what's going to happen. They could lose a football game, but they could fire a football coach. That's where we are right now.
It just the lack of clarity, the fact that no one in management, you know, Ryan Pace, I'm not even sure if he's up there, if he's hiding up there, if he has like a special place that he crawls into to hide, because we never see of that guy. But you know, you see George walk in and out of the building, right? I there's got to be someone that is willing to step forward and say something. Well, Briskly, that's fair.
Briskly.
But I mean, he does go in. He's there.
Yes.
Ryan Pace, I don't think anyone sees him leave or arrive, or, you know, he like maybe he has a driver, he jumps in the trunk of the car. That guy is just in hiding, right? That's it.
Well, he is, but do we know what his role is in all of this? Do we know what his future holds? Because you know what? If you're firing Matt Nagy, but you're keeping Ryan Pace, you're doing it wrong. And
no,
if his name is not attached to some speculation about his future, I don't know how you justify getting rid of your head coach and keeping your general manager. I don't know how you argue for years on behalf of this collaboration, and then you're going to execute a separation. How do you do that? You can't do that. Ryan Pace may be in the bunker because his future may be in as much jeopardy as the head coach. Maybe. Do we know?
You know,
no, we don't.
How
know.
Would we know? How would we know? Who, you know, we got to wait for it to leak in some strange fashion. we'll know. But it is just honestly, it's one of the real head scratchers. Is Ryan Pace going to be allowed a third coach? Well, does he get to draft another quarterback?
Can't.
Is he done with that process? Just curious.
No.
Just curious.
No.
Yeah. Not sure.
No.
Yeah. I don't know. Again. You know, there's a photo out there of Ryan Pace behind a door, kind of peering out, waiting for his moment at the podium. That is the greatest photo that there is. You see that one and you laugh aloud because that's really what's going on. He's hiding. He's behind various spots. Someone tell him that we found everyone else and you won, okay, Mr. Hide and Seek. You are the
Mr.
champion.
Mr. Hide and Seek. Mr.
Yeah.
Hide and Seek.
Well, what else would you call it?
But let's look at this, okay? We're getting a lot off our chest, and there's a lot more to go. But
he's like a guy on some Japanese island, right? Or some Pacific island, a Japanese soldier that's still fighting the war. That's Pace upstairs in Hell's Hall. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead.
That's okay. No. I love the analogies. I love the venom, okay? It's real. And it's understandable. Okay, let's take that 30,000-foot view, though, Mully. Let's get in that airplane and let's fly over there. Let's relax and kick back and look at what we see from above. And this is what we see from above. Bears are going to fire their football coach, all right? No matter how we got there, this is where we are. It's going to be a matter of when. It's no longer if. We know that. We can see that. It could be as early as tomorrow. Maybe it could be today. I doubt that he would resign today. I think he'll probably see it through. But they are going to fire their football coach. They're going to try to change the outcomes of football games. They're trying to win again by hiring another guy. Whether the change includes Ryan Pace, I guess that's part of the unknown right now, but we do know they're going to get a new football coach. It's just a matter of how clumsily they're going to get to that point.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I also think that the Bears, if I'm not mistaken, were founded in 1920 because I believe they changed the address to it. So it is now 2021, and so it's 101 years later. We're not going to get to 102. Is that fair to say? This won't begin after the new year where they actually fire a coach in season for the first time. They are going to fire a coach in season. That seems fairly accurate. And again, most likely it'll be after the game tomorrow, but it's the Bears. They may decide to, you know, play Groundhog Day. Who knows? I mean, they are very well capable of shoving their heads in the sand somewhere and trying to ostrich up the whole thing.
Yeah. And that's the key thing here is that things came down to a matter of semantics yesterday. Mark Conkle reports that, you know, Matt Nagy was informed that Thursday will be his last game, and then Matt Nagy calls that inaccurate. But he could not answer a question whether or not he was assured he would be here till the end of the season. And I think somewhere in between, you know, that is where the truth lies. And the truth is probably that they told him in some clumsy fashion he was not going to be here for the rest of the season, and it could happen as early as Friday. And maybe somewhere in there, because Mark Conkle, that report is going to come out and look like the crux of that, the root of that, was accurate. There's going to be a change, and it's likely going to come after Thursday's game. So a lot of the things that happen in terms of denials, in terms of the discussion after that, well, you know what? It doesn't change the reality. Matt Nagy's days are numbered, whether it's days or weeks. Really doesn't matter. They're moving on pretty quickly.
Yeah, and again, you know, the Bears don't do hiring well, right? They just have a hard time cutting the cord.
I believe hello's and goodbyes. Ditka, yeah,
Coach Ditka was made to twist in the wind for a week. You know, we're going to fire him, but first let's take a ski trip so we can clear our head. This is, you know, the whole idea that you've got a Bears head coach who was head coach for about an hour and a half, but no one told him. This organization, man, you know, how do you screw this thing up? This is like a one car funeral.
And circling the block. Look, and those references are dated, and people will wonder, why did something that happened in 93 or why is something that happened in 98 or whatever relevant? Well, it's relevant because it's the same family that owns the team, and this is a systemic problem when you're talking about the McCaskies and the Bears, communication, execution, and hellos and goodbyes. They're not good at them, and I think that's the problem when you look at the dysfunction that is evident in the football family at Hallis Hall. And why? And it goes way back. So history continues to repeat itself. Absolutely a valid comparison and a good reference. And I'm sure that you spent a lot of yesterday talking about those past incidents with a lot of people who have been here for a very long time.
I'm sure you did too.
Yeah.
I'm sure the two of us were on the phone occasionally with each other.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of stuff floating around.
Long day.
A lot
long
of people day. To talk to. All right. We'll get to all of it. We've got the 5 at 5 next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw starts now.
You got to have a fall guy in the crew.
Is it okay with you if Matt Nagy is the fall guy in the crew in terms of the Bears' failure? What about Ryan Pace? Does he deserve yet another opportunity to redeem himself, or is he rotting on the vine more than Nagy? What has Pace done to continue to keep his job?
The rot of the vine. I believe that's a dessert wine. That is a glorious and wondrous thing to have after a big meal like we all will tomorrow, but... Yeah, you know, I thought, and maybe this is why there's confusion. Maybe this is why this whole thing's a shambles. Perhaps there wasn't the opportunity for everyone to get together and really sort of, oh, I don't know, collaborate on the firing of the coach. Maybe one element of that, the coach, was missing, because I'm pretty sure they tried to sell us on the idea that all were involved, that everybody has their hands on everything in the chaotic, disorganized, muddled world of the Bears. Okay, let's blame one guy. You got to have a fall guy in the crew, right? We we heard the lesson there. Come on. This is not simply Matt Nagy's fault. He's not the guy that got them there and put them there. He is just one element of it. And once again, we're playing the blame game. We've got a kazakocracy, is that the word, where it's like the government run by the worst people. That's what we're staring down.
Forget the dessert wine you're going to be sipping tomorrow, Bears fans. They'll be doing shots just to numb the pain, Molly. Forget the dice. That's not going to be something that they want to have. Give them the hard stuff. Look, you cannot preach collaboration of Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace and then make a distinction between them when you're dealing with accountability and firing in their future. Ryan Pace has been here longer. Ryan Pace has missed on now two head coaches and how many quarterbacks, all right? It goes back to missing on Mitch Trubisky, which created this mess in the first place. He missed on other first-round draft picks. He's missed on too many draft picks. He's given up too many draft picks to move up for guys he becomes fixated on. His track record in free agency isn't good enough to overcome those mistakes. The Bears overall haven't been good enough on the field to overcome those mistakes. 45-61. It's a bottom-line business. The bottom line is the Bears are 45-61 since Ryan Pace walked into Halas Hall and promised things would be different. No, they haven't been. You had one good year. Congratulations. You never built on it. It's time to go. It's time to go. You have been here 7 years. You haven't celebrated a playoff victory. If you're going to fire the head coach, there's no way you can justify keeping his boss. None at all.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you do that, but I think the key to answering the question is the last part of the question. What has Ryan Pace done to keep his job? And I think Dave Wannstedt, and you guys will tell me if I'm wrong, I know one of our guests, and I believe it was Dave, told us that the most important ally that the general manager and or coach can have is the owner. That's the biggest person that you need on your side. And Dave didn't just stop there. He said the number one was your owner, the number two was your owner, and the number three was your owner. So the top three people that you needed to schmooze with or be able to go out and have a beer or to trade pleasantries with is the owner. And I believe Ryan Pace has gotten real close with the McCaskies. I believe they really, 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 really like him. And even if they believe that he might be in over his head, over his skis, if you will, they're willing to give him another shot. Here's the problem is that Nagy has like triple failed now. So he was brought in as an offensive guru. That hasn't worked out. They're scoring 13 points a game. He was brought in as a quarterback whisperer. He doesn't appear to have gotten through to any of the quarterbacks that he's had. And then he was stripped of those offensive play calling duties and was told to focus on being more of the head coach, the leader of this team. And he looked really bad at that, especially bad the last two games. So I think that's why right this minute that you're seeing that Nagy is the fall guy. I think I'm not okay with it, but it's something. It's kind of, here's a little appetizer, Bears fans. You know, enjoy it on Thanksgiving weekend. And then we'll see if we're going to give you all of it later on. So here's the thing. At this point now, I think Nagy's got to go. I think they've muddled it up. I think he is going to... I think Mark Conkle's reporting is going to end up being right. I think he has coached his last game on Thursday as a Chicago Bear. I do think. It's just now, it's just messier and uglier than ever. Yes, David.
Dustin, those are some really good points. I also wonder this, though. How can you do that and then put out who to explain why your head coach is fired? Is it the head coach's boss, the general manager? And if the general manager is talking about the firing of the head coach, how in the world is that going to come off? Because I thought they were attached at the hip philosophically and otherwise. So who's going to be explaining this? And the first question is going to be to George McCaskey, if it's him, is why did you stop with the head coach? How do you justify the general manager? Is he next?
Scoreboard update.
Question for whomever they walk into the room, whether it be the general manager, the team president, or the owner. That is the great question. And I think it's, you know, literally you could ask each guy as they got up, why would you have your job? Why should you stick around? What have you done? I really think that's a very important question. I'm sorry for interrupting, Dustin.
Scoreboard update.
No worries at all. From the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, I'm Dustin Rhodes. Here's what's happening. It was quite the day at Halas Hall, and it only got more interesting. Per our guy, Brad Biggs, he'll be on with us at 7 o'clock. Matt Nagy met with Bears ownership before the team's second walkthrough at Halas Hall, and the coach told the players it was a productive meeting, according to multiple sources, but didn't address a report about his imminent firing, and then canceled the meeting. So we're going to have to keep our eyes and ears on that all day. What is the future of Matt Nagy? We also found out that Andy Dalton will indeed start on Thursday, but when healthy, Justin Fields remains QB1. There's a report out there the White Sox are very close, if not already done, with a deal for reliever Kendall Graveman. John Heyman, our guy, reporting it's 3 years, around $24 million. And there's also a report slash rumor out there that the Mets or Phillies are interested in Craig Kimbrell. Steven Matz is now a St. Louis Cardinal, reaching an agreement on a four-year, $44 million deal. The Bulls are back in action at the 1-16 Rockets tonight in Houston. 6:45 right here on the Score with Chuck Swirsky's pregame. Blackhawks fell to the Flames 5-2. They're back home Friday to host the Blues. And we've got a updated college football playoff rankings. Number one, Georgia. Ohio State jumps to number two. Number three is now Alabama. Four is Cincinnati. Michigan and Notre Dame, 5 and 6. Michigan is hosting Ohio State this weekend. You can hear the game right here on the Score. It's an 11 a.m. kick. The first place Chicago Wolves play the Rockford IceHogs this Saturday. Allstate Arena, the place to be. Affordable tickets available. Check out Winning Hockey with the entire family. We are Chicago. We are hockey. We are the Wolves.
That's why I'm answering these questions right now, because I respect and understand where y'all are coming from your side.
Who would you rather see at quarterback for the Lions on Thursday? Backup Tim Boyle or would-be starter Jared Goff, who's listed as limited in the imaginary practice-based injury report? Does Dan Campbell want to start Goff as much as Matt Nagy wants to start Justin Fields, or is that an unfair question?
That's a fair question under the circumstances, and it's kind of funny as well. I think that I would rather see Jared Goff. I don't know that. I think it's more out of curiosity. I kind of want to see how Goff has progressed to this point. You know, we talk all the time about franchise quarterbacks and their development and how, you know, teams give up on guys. And the Rams certainly gave up on Goff, and they went to Matthew Stafford for understandable reasons. I'm curious to see where he is and if he's made any progress. Tim Boyle, you know, he's just a backup. I know it's maybe the year of the backup, but that doesn't do much for me. I'm looking for some sort of football entertainment. I want to, you know, a close game. I think the Bears have got to win this game just because the Lions are the Lions. But, yeah, I think for whatever reason, Dan Campbell seems reluctant to go to Jared Goff, and maybe it is for similar reasons. I'm not quite sure. But I think whoever plays quarterback for the Lions, I think we're going to see a lot of DeAndre Swift. This is a guy that's got 266 rushing yards in his last two games. So when you're just talking about the football, we're going to watch and observe on Thanksgiving Day. The Lions are going to run the heck out of the football, and I think we're going to see a lot of Swift in the Lions offense, and they're going to hand the ball off whoever plays quarterback.
Yeah, DeAndre Swift, great name for a running back. Better than, you know, DeAndre Slow. I don't know. I would say that it seemed very obvious to me, very obvious, that I wanted to see Tyler Huntley rather than Lamar Jackson. That was a very obvious decision to make. This one's a little more muddled. I'm with you. I think I want to see Goff. I'd like to see them, and I'm going to use air quotes, at their best. And I don't know what that means, but because they're pretty awful. But I think bring on their best guy. Let's see if the Bears can do anything to stop it. You would think they could, but again, this is the Bears. Maybe they will fail to score and then give up the lead with 2 minutes to play or something like that. They've been known to do that. As bad as their offense is, as important as it is to focus on the offense, they also have been run over in the second half by San Francisco. They have allowed Pittsburgh to get the game-winning touchdown on a final drive, and they've obviously, whatever the hell that was last week, gave it up as well. So we'll see. And it's not last week. It was Sunday. It just feels like it was 2 weeks ago.
I'd like to say Jared Goff, because I'm with you. I want to see the Bears beat the best guy out there. But, if Tim Boyle starts, they're going to make the excuse that they had no tape on Boyle. They had no game. They didn't know anything about the guy. I mean, the Bears have done this before. They've lost to quarterbacks making their debuts. And some of that was coming off the bye, some of the numbers that we've been talking about over the last couple weeks. I don't care, honestly, who starts at quarterback. The Bears just need to win the game. That's it. They just need to win the game. And I would think Dan Campbell wants to start Jared Goff. Yes, I think he wants to put the better of the quarterbacks. And Jared Goff's better than Tim Boyle, or the Lions got more problems than we would think, despite the fact they haven't won a game yet.
I mean, I don't understand the question.
If you are George McCaskey, the emotional chairman of the Bears, how much communication, if any, are you having with Justin Fields throughout this process? Does a rookie, often referred to as the franchise quarterback, is he to be informed of the Bears' intentions?
Boy, that is a really obvious question, frankly. I'm going to guess no. If I were George, yes, I would definitely be talking to him. I would have him up in the office. I would have him to a point where he could just plop down on the couch, and I'd sit next to him and talk to him. I would have, like, as big an open-door policy as Mitch has with all of us, right? Just come on in. Let's, who's that guy? Well, let him tackle you onto the couch. I mean, I would just be having fun in games and enjoying everyone's different personality, and I would get to know the players like that. I would try to maintain a little bit of distance so I could I could maybe punish someone a little easier. But I think that's the way that you should behave toward people. I think it's really important for ownership to have a relationship with players. I think it's really important with the quarterback more than any other position. And I think it's the sort of thing that makes sense to me, and I would definitely let him know, we got you covered. Everything's under control. Don't worry about it. This has nothing to do with you. This is you're not at fault in any way. It's just we've got to make sure that we do best by you, and I would even run names by the guy. I really would have a relationship where he wouldn't feel that he got Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I think that's an interesting point, and I think it's a fascinating question because you're talking about a 22-year-old professional athlete who's learning just how to be a professional athlete in his first season with the Bears, a rookie. And I think it requires, to me, savvy that the Bears rarely demonstrate, if ever. And you need to strike a balance between getting a player like Justin Fields of his caliber and of his character to feel this inclusiveness, to feel this sort of he's part of the process, and he is being heard, and he should be heard. You want to have players have that feeling where they are part of something bigger and their voices are heard and the door is always open. That's good management, and I think that's a good practice to have. Even though, when it comes down to it, I don't know if you're going to Justin Fields before hiring the next guy and saying, okay, we're between candidate A and B. What do you think? Because really, it goes back to our conversation yesterday. Do you know what you've got in Justin Fields? You think you do, but what if you hire somebody who has a different evaluation? What if you hire somebody that changes the arc of his career? Then you're stuck in a situation where, well, you know what? He recommended this guy. You want to strike a balance between making him feel part of it and valuing his opinion, taking it into consideration. As long as you know, as long as everybody knows, you're making the final decision. And you're not going to be swayed by any one player, by any one person. But you are clear-headed enough to make your own decision because, you'd like to have a track record to base it on, even though that's not the case with the Bears. So I think you have to strike a tricky balance here, but the door should always be open.
You guys know better than I do, but is George McCaskey really an emotional chairman? just have to imagine that if I were fortunate enough that my grandfather founded the Chicago Bears, that Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace would no longer be running the charter franchise of the NFL if I were the emotional chairman of the Chicago. Imagine if I was the emotional chairman of the Chicago Bears. But to answer the question, I guess specifically, instead of asking you guys a question inside of the question that you're asking, yes, I believe there should be an open door policy. And I believe that at least Fields and company, whoever it is that helps Justin Fields through the processes, should be in communication with George McCaskey on what's happening next in regards to the leadership of the Chicago Bears.
I respect that. I respect the question.
Tomorrow marks the last game of the Matt Nagy era, maybe. What is your score, please, and will the Bears cover? With Andy Dalton starting, will he pass for 300 yards, within 50 yards of that, or merely in the 200s?
300 yards? Wow. That seems very ambitious for an Andy Dalton. The Red Rifle would be firing. I don't know about 300 yards. I would say right around 225. I think it's going to be an efficient Andy Dalton-like performance. He's, you know, used to playing on Thanksgiving Day. Didn't he just do it a year ago? Thanksgiving with Andy Dalton. You know, you sit down in your living room with the Red Rifle. I think the Bears win. I think the Bears are going to win this game, and it says more about probably the Lions than it does the Bears. I just feel like, you know, when you look at the Detroit Lions, they invent new ways to lose even more so than the Bears do. You're going to have, you know, this is a Big Z nugget. I think we talked about it yesterday. This is only like the fourth time in history where the two teams have gotten together where the collective number of victories is three or fewer. So this is a battle of futility. And I think the Bears win it. And I think the Bears win it because Andy Dalton is more efficient. He's going to move the chains, make the reads, and score enough points to beat a winless football team. Bears 24, Lions 16, and I really do believe that this is the last game of the Matt Nagy era.
I got a hard time calling the guy the Red Rifle. It was more like the Red Pop Gun, I thought, when you saw him bouncing throws the other day. I guess they win. I guess they win by a kind of maybe 19-17. I don't know. I should say 19-20, but that's just that's wrong order, but that's the franchise found. Yeah, never mind. I'll go 19-17. Bears winning, but I am putting a giant asterisk next to it because I may change it tomorrow. And I'm holding on to that right to switch my pick. I got to see how things happen here. 225, I'll go 226.
Okay.
Just so I get, I'm going higher than you, so I get right from 226 to 300. What do you think?
Your prediction based on whether or not Boyle or Goff plays? Be like Lamar Jackson or Huntley? Is it that big of a difference?
I'm gonna claim that's the case in order to give myself the right to switch tomorrow when I hear some of the stuff coming out of Hellas Hall today. I just can't. I mean, here's the thing. I'm not going anywhere. I'll be back here tomorrow. Why can't I just wait a little and see how messed up this gets? But I'll go 19-17 Bears. But, you know, that's just an interruption in the whatever it is 9-game losing streak.
Well, as you guys said, a tradition unlike any other. Andy Dalton starting on Thanksgiving. So here you go. I went over to Bet Rivers, Mully, and total passing yards by the player, Andy Dalton, over 216.5. That's the over-under is 216.5. So you guys are talking at like 250, 300, and we're having fun. I mean, that seems really low to me. Also, total touchdown passes, over-under 1.5. For Andy Dalton. So if you think Dalton throws two, you actually get plus 125 money on that bet. I'm going to say I like the Bears' chances. They had some open plays that I think if Andy Dalton had quarterbacked all week, he might have thrown four touchdowns against the Ravens. Now, I know the Ravens' secondary is really banged up right now, and they're on like their sixth corner, like the Bears are on their sixth offensive tackle, it seems like. But I'm going to say 20-13 20-13 Bears, but I do also want the right to be able to call into your pregame show tomorrow, Mully, and change my pick if things get a little dicey up at Hell's Hall.
That'd be great. So, Dustin, you're saying that, essentially, if I heard you correctly, I think I did, if Dalton plays the first half, they beat the Ravens?
That's an interesting question, David. Here's what I know I will say. I don't know that Justin Fields scores a touchdown against the Ravens the way he played in the first half.
Okay. That's kind of wishy-washy, but okay.
Well, but honestly, yes. Yes, I think they beat the Ravens if Andy Dalton starts. Yes, I do.
Okay.
Because when I was agreeing with Hub like 5-5 mm-hmm. yesterday when we talked about 6-4 or 5-5 with Dalton starting all the games. Yes, I believe they win the game with Andy Dalton taking all the first team reps against the Ravens. Yes, I do.
It's a tough one, Bruce. It's a very fair question and obviously a ripe one.
Reports say the White Sox agreed to terms with right-handed reliever Kendall Graveman on a 3-year, $24 million deal, likely to serve as setup man for Liam Hendricks. How good or bad of a deal is that for the Sox? How will it affect others in the bullpen?
I believe Mike Scott was the guy that sang, bring them all in, bring them all in, bring them all in, bring them all into my heart. I have no problem welcoming another closer to the team of closers. Let's get it going. I think that Kendall Graveman is more likely than say the guy about to be traded to be the setup man for the closer who could close a game here and there. That I think he'll fit in that role, and I think that they've done a wise thing here to get a number one setup guy while they trade the other guy. And here's hoping that they don't have to give up much of the money and that they can make a deal and get something in return for Craig Kimbrel. So I think it's a good idea. It's they're going in line with what they wanted to do, and I think that Graveman is much better off in that role than Kimbrel would be.
I think this is a good move. It's a smart move. You need to keep your strength a strength. And even though it's the first move that maybe surprised some people because they went to the bullpen before addressing second base and right field and starting pitching, which are bigger needs perhaps, you had to strike when you could and get a guy who was on the market and attainable. And Graveman is a very good pickup because of what he means to the back end of that bullpen. And it does give you more of an opportunity to get rid of Kimbrel comfortably and also maybe say goodbye to Tapera. And this is going to be something that Graveman fits in well. I think he has been a teammate of Liam Hendricks before in Oakland. He has bounced around a little bit, but had a very good year last season and is a very good addition. I also am very intrigued by the rumors surrounding Craig Kimbrel, Mets and Phillies. The Phillies, did you see the name being thrown around there, Mully? Did you see Gene Segura as the guy who could be coming back to the White Sox? Wow. That would be really something if you could get a player like that for a reliever that you no longer need and is deemed expendable, and you get somebody to perhaps plug in at second base, a pro who might be able to fit in there. That's a very interesting rumor that we saw yesterday. But this, to me, is a smart move for the White Sox. Even though it's maybe out of order, it is something that you're going to need moving forward for a team that plans on contending once again.
Well, I think what this move screams to me, and I know most people want me to stay out of White Sox business, is that Michael Kopech is going to be in the starting five next year. So they're almost addressing two things with this move. So I now see that Michael Kopech, will be in the starting rotation. And I think Graveman more replaces Kopech than Kimbrel, because I don't really think Kimbrel was in the White Sox plans next year because they were unwilling, I guess, to use him properly. So go ahead and trade him. And that, David, that rumor, I saw that rumor that you just mentioned as well. It seems like he has trouble with managers that tell him what to do. He did not get along at all with the Phillies skipper, the
Girardi,
former ex-Cub, Joe Girardi. Yeah, they did not get along even a little bit. So you wonder how he and Tony La Russa may get along. But what this move screams to me is that Michael Kopech is now in the starting rotation for the White Sox next year.
But Dustin, that like Rick Hahn has said that. I mean, I understand that you feel like you're breaking news on that front, but literally the general manager is breaking.
But you're not. My point is that White Sox fans, 35th and Shields, listen up. You're not getting another starting pitcher. Like they're not bringing in a guy. This is the move. Now it's cemented.
No.
I'm saying it's again.
Now
it's an
that
opinion.
You said that,
this now,
no. But I'm saying now that you said that, let's go back to what he said. He said that they were going to start Kopech, that he would be a starter, but they had to watch his innings, and that means that you need another starter.
Also, Bob Nightingale, our guy, tweets out that the White Sox still are pursuing a pitcher like Robbie Ray and a second baseman like Marcus Semien. Does that mean those guys specifically or guys like those guys? Because you know what? I want those two. I want those two on the south side, not guys like that. I want two guys who are them, those two guys.
When you say like that,
a guy that pitches and a guy that plays second base.
The like that is just a guy who plays the position as opposed to those actual guys. That's good. Yeah. I like that. That's very good.
A guy that might throw the ball over the plate. Okay.
All right. 312-644-6767. You saw the show yesterday. You heard everything that happened. Where are you right now in the midst of this fallout of whatever's going on? 312-644-6767. The English have a great word, shambolic, which just means, you know, everything's in a shambles. But they've actually turned it into a word, and it's used for exactly this sort of occasion. Be curious to see if anyone has a better one, a better word, an American
that you can
word.
Say on the radio.
Well, yes, yes. I think, you know, sham show would be, the kind of thing that we saw yesterday with other language involved. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 in the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.